This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Technology News Network. We're about to speak to Tony Essendiari, who's the CEO of AirMesh. Welcome to Utopia Media Technology News Network.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Why don't we start with the name of the company? How many eyes are there in AirMesh?
There are two eyes, because we couldn't get AirMesh with one eye.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer to that. Before we get started on the specifics of this deployment here in the San Fernando Valley, why don't you give a review to people who know and an introduction to people who don't, just the basic way in which a wireless transmission of information works, as opposed to what people in the past have been more familiar with, which is with wires that send electrons through circuits. How exactly is information able to be transmitted through the air using radio waves?
Yes, basically the technology based on Wi-Fi technology, which is basically transmitting signals from a radio to a consumer device, a CPE device. The wavelength is restricted airwaves, which is basically from 9 megahertz to 5.8 megahertz.
Okay.
And it's a very efficient way of transmitting signals
and
data.
It's essentially the same way AM or FM radio sends music or talk through the air. It's instead bits, digitized information is sent.
That is correct.
And what about the upstream link? Are there essentially little tiny radio transmitters in the laptops or other wireless devices?
That's correct. That's correct. Your laptop will be in communication constantly with the radios that are installed throughout the network.
And along the way, the issue has been how to increase the range and increase the bandwidth or the rate at which the data can be transmitted back and forth in these systems.
Well, today's technology that the manufacturers out there, that they provide very strong and robust radio technology that can really deliver a very wide and strong bandwidth and can support the metro scale usage.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to talk about now. Before we talk about the deployment here in Van Nuys in the San Fernando Valley, tell us a little bit about AirMesh besides the number of eyes in its name, how it got started, how you got associated with it, and where else it's doing work now.
Yeah, AirMesh Communications is...
Don't feel bad about speaking up even louder than you are now.
Sure, sure. AirMesh Communications is a year and a half old company. It's a startup, and we got very interested in this wireless technology, and we thought that the time is right, the demand is there, there is more usage of broadband throughout the country, the broadband humanizes the internet.
Right.
With broadband, you can increase the productivity in the work area and basically increase the GNP of the country in the long run.
Right.
And it's in high demand, and the technology is here, the demand is here, and there are companies like AirMesh trying to deliver the technology to cities across the U.S.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between what AirMesh does and what a company that goes to, I don't want to give a plug to any particular coffee house chain, but that sets up hotspots in separate stores or even blocks of stores. What's the difference between that process and what AirMesh does?
Well, the difference between the companies that set up hotspots is that those companies, they serve a very small area,
right?
Like coffee shops and restaurants, and smaller footprints.
Right.
What companies like AirMesh try to execute is creating the same Wi-Fi cloud over a community, which could be from 1 to 30 square miles.
Okay.
And in respect to AirMesh, we have a number of products in addition to the hotspot concept.
Mention some of those.
In other words, we can basically bring the same connectivity and a high-speed internet to residential customers.
Okay.
That they were, for some reason or another, they weren't able to get DSL or cable. They were unserved, and some areas they are underserved. We can bring quality or even better quality of service via airwaves to their residentials.
Okay, and what's the basic footprint, or what are the range of footprints that you're able to produce?
Well, in our first deployment, which was the city of Cerritos, we deployed about 8.6 square mile.
Okay.
Of the network, and which is pretty much covered the entire city.
Now, do you use 802.11 or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we use 802.11 to bring the service to outdoor users as well as indoor.
Now, what does that generally mean in terms of how what the number of transceivers you need to place in a particular area to cover it?
Well, our network is a hybrid network, and in some areas we use a higher density of radio transmitters, and in some areas we use a lower. But on an average, we have about 15 radio transmitters per square mile.
15 per square mile. And where do they go? On people's roofs and trees?
No, they
and
go actually on the street lights and light poles on the street.
Okay.
And consumer will be able to pick up the signal and sign up to our for our service with their enabled Centrino chipset, laptop, or PDAs.
Okay. Now, what typically does a user have to pay in a residential deployment to access your service?
It's our entry level service, which is a residential, and it's about 500 kilobytes up and down. Is about $29.95 per month.
Okay, how does that compare in speed with DSL or cable modems?
It's very compatible. Actually, in a lot of areas, is a lot faster.
And the sort of core price is about $30 per month.
Correct.
Okay.
$30 a month.
Now, is there any reason why this can't be deployed in? And I assume that if you get more customers, you'll be able to bring the price down eventually, or will you?
Well,
in other words, what's the competitive picture? Is this technology viable only in areas that don't have access to DSL or cable, or could you compete with them and help drive the price down?
Well, we could compete. There's no doubt we can compete because our infrastructure cost is a lot lower than the traditional telcos.
Right. You don't have to tear anything up.
That's correct. And pretty much we have to hang our radios and do the network design and so forth. So we can move a lot faster and cheaper and deliver a better service.
In fact, you can go into a hurricane hit area and set things up in a few hours if you had to, couldn't you?
Yes, we could very possibly do that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more in detail about what you did in Cerritos and how that's working out.
Basically, we deployed the network in Cerritos earlier this year, and we launched the service back in May. And it is a very successful deployment, and the city is getting pretty much coverage throughout the city. And visitors, when they're visiting the city of Cerritos, they can use the service as a nomadic. They can buy service hourly, daily, or weekly.
What kind of arrangements did you make with that? So that do you work through other companies or bill people directly?
Well, we bill them directly, and what happens is when you're in the city, when you open up your notebook,
right,
and you go to your wireless service providers, you will see our splash page,
right,
which will ask you if you like to buy airtime,
right,
and it's very simple. So you put your credit card and your credit card information, and you get the username and a password, and you're on and ready to go.
And you can you essentially buy it in hour, day, week, or monthly increments?
Absolutely.
Okay, and
absolutely.
Then, and so if you can you say sign me up for as long as I'm here and sort of
sure,
bill me afterwards
for a month?
Right.
Sure, they can use a monthly service charge for about $30 a month.
Okay, or if they're just passing through, they can just buy an hour's worth.
Exactly the same concept as Starbucks.
Okay.
But now they can roam around the whole city.
All right. Now let's get to the main course here and talk about what's happening in the San Fernando Valley. Did you approach the city of Los Angeles? Did they approach you? How did you come to enter into this agreement that we're going to talk about with the city of Los Angeles? And what exactly are the terms of that agreement?
Well, what we're doing for city of Los Angeles is in Marvin Brody Center is basically we launch a 6-month pilot project for that center.
Okay. Let's tell people where this is. This is on Van Nuys Boulevard.
The Fernando Valley is in Van Nuys, which is about, I would say, 20 miles northwest of the city of Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'd say so too. Okay. And about 6 miles from where I'm sitting now.
Right. And what we're covering is about, I would say, half a square mile.
Okay.
We're covering outdoor and indoor with Wi-Fi cloud.
Right.
And folks that are visiting this campus or this center, they can access internet for free. And Citi is providing this service free of charge to the visitors. And it's basically a pilot project for the city to have a better understanding of this technology, the Wi-Fi technology, and basically measure to see if there is economic viability.
Okay, so you want to know who's going to use it, how much they're going to use it, what they're going to use it for, and all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly, and we're following and measuring all these small factors and increments. Hopefully in 6 months we'll have a better understanding of the usage, and then city can decide whether they would like to deploy this citywide or they would like to just go in pockets of the demand.
Okay. Now, is the service going to be available? The area you're talking about, the Marvin Browdy Constituent Service Center in Van Nuys, is around the Van Nuys City Hall and the courts and police and the state building and intensely office-oriented places. Will the people who are there now be able to make use of it wirelessly?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In the radius of half a mile, most businesses and their visitors will be able to log onto the system and use it.
Okay.
For free of charge.
And for free of charge.
Yes.
And at what band rates?
It depends on their vicinity, their location. If they're close to the center, they could get as fast as 3 MIPS.
Okay.
Which is extremely fast.
Right. And how many units are you going to have to deploy around the area to provide the cloud?
We have deployed about 3 radios.
Okay.
Which is very good.
And the backhaul, how is this connecting
and
back
the
to the internet?
The backhaul, we're using Department of Water and Power.
Oh.
City right. has been gracious that they donated the backhaul for this infrastructure.
Okay.
For this deployment.
Do you have any specific plans to spread this out more widely in Los Angeles? Or is it going to depend on the results? People ought to all flock there and use it a lot in order to encourage the city
absolutely.
To do more.
I think there are many pockets of demand and underserved areas, especially in San Fernando Valley, that they could use the wireless internet access.
Okay, now are you involved at all in the content or the process of this, or is it your job solely to set up the platform?
Basically, to set up the network and cell service. Internet service provider. We're an ISP.
Are you working with, or is the city working with, sort of content providers or e-government people, education people, entertainment people to provide content over this network?
I believe during the 6-month trial, they would definitely try to figure out a way to how to pay and monetize the system.
Right. Now, in addition to when you say trial, there are courts that are in that half-mile cloud as well.
Yes.
Will judges, juries, visitors, attorneys be able to access the system?
Absolutely.
I think Robert Blake's trial is going on there as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Anyone
can use it, yes.
Okay. Now, you're using 802.11. Comment a little bit on the relative appropriateness of 802.11 and 802.16, commonly known as a WiMAX, for putting out metro clouds of internet connectivity.
Sure. WiMAX and Wi-Fi and WiMAX, they will coexist in the future. It's a product roadmap. WiMAX, of course, is a superior technology, wider range, and a faster speed. And in the future, from what I understand, and from industry believe right around 07 or late 07, WiMAX will be available widely throughout the country.
And is it part of your business plan to transition into WiMAX?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We are already testing some beta products in WiMAX, and we're working with vendors to make sure that our network is upgradable, and we can basically migrate our 802.11 to 802.16.
Will end users, what's the migration path for them? Will they have to buy new laptops or new chipsets or otherwise upgrade or what?
Yes, Intel has, I believe they have released their a beta chipset of WiMAX to a selected few out there.
Right.
And from what I gather, they're planning to ship some quantity early next year.
Will those units be able to work both on Wi-Fi and WiMAX?
Yes, they would.
So depending on whatever
Absolutely.
Is, and essentially the computer would look around and see what's available.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Talk a little bit more about the logistics. The San Fernando Valley is basically it's a flat area with about 1.4 million people in it between two mountain ranges. That's why it's the San Fernando Valley. Is it pretty ideally constructed or situated to use WiMAX?
Absolutely. In fact, from my window, I can see what you're talking about. It's totally flat
on right.
the fifth floor in a building.
Right.
And it would be very, I don't want to use the word easy, but it
right.
would be
appropriate
for a company like ours to deploy San Fernando Valley with this technology.
Okay, could we just do a really rough set of figures to see what it would cost to do that? If we wanted to essentially ring the using the best combination going forward of Wi-Fi and WiMAX to saturate the San Fernando Valley with broadband.
Yeah. If I could guess, it needs a lot of
right.
Study and assessment.
Right.
But if I was going to just give you a number,
right.
It would be anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 per square mile.
Okay.
And the cost of deploying.
And $30,000 to $50,000 per square mile, and we figure out the square mileage, and then that would be to build the infrastructure, or
correct.
And at that point, then once that was built, it would have a much lower cost to maintain.
Sure.
And then if the unit cost would essentially go down inversely to the number of subscribers, right? Because
correct.
And just say a little, we've been mainly just talking about the technology here, but what would that make of, let's assume this was done either through private or public or a combination of public and private initiatives, what would that mean that each of those 1.4 million people would have to pay to provide that to cover that cost, you say, just approximately?
I believe a $30, anywhere from $20 to $30 a month would be an appropriate number.
Okay, and then just talk a little bit about what they'd be able to do then as individuals, and what the community would be able to do as a community with that capacity in place.
Sure, as a community. Any subscriber can roam around in San Fernando Valley with their same account.
Right.
In other words, you cannot move your DSL account with you.
Right.
Your DSL account with you that because you have a wired
exactly,
installation
right.
at your home. But if you were going to go to visit someone else across the city, you'll be able to move around and basically use the same account that you have.
So essentially it does for broadband wireless connectivity what cell phones does for telephone.
Absolutely.
It centers it on the person and not on the location.
Yes.
So
it's a very similar concept to wireless cell phone.
So in fact a high school student who was cutting class and watching going to go some movie in Woodland Hills would be able to log into his or her computer class back there at the school while they were waiting for the movie to start, and no one would be the wiser essentially unless they were really good network engineers.
Absolutely.
And figured it out.
Absolutely.
And similar things. Now, the San Fernando Valley is known for many things. One of them is the traffic that's here. What kind of impact do you think, again, just sort of speculating in general terms, it might be possible to, what kind of effect it might be possible to have on traffic and commuting and congestion and wasted time and pollution If that, instead of having a cloud of smog, there were a cloud of Wi-Fi and WiMAX connectivity covering the valley.
Yeah, Mark, what we don't recommend is for folks to use their laptops or PDAs while they're driving.
No, not while they're driving. No, I mean about they're enhancing their ability to stay home and telecommute.
But definitely, you can just imagine the number of hours that the 1.4 million folks would save.
Right.
Those who actually... they use the internet, they can do their work while they're waiting, they're sitting in the park, or they're having their lunch, they can work. It's phenomenal.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
And then that's all money that wouldn't be spent on gasoline that could be reinvested or saved or pay off the debt or any number of other things.
I heard one number, if I can recollect, like 5-6 years ago, we're losing $3 billion of GNP just in Los Angeles, sitting in traffic at 4, 5, and 10.
$3 billion in
annual.
Annual. That's
loss of productivity because just people sitting in traffic.
Well, every year.
Every year.
Well, just as a bizarre coincidence, that's the same amount. That $3 billion is the same amount of money that the Proposition 71 has just appropriated for stem cell research over the next 10 years. So that means San Fernando Valley could save in that amount. Is that Los Angeles or San Fernando Valley?
Yes, those are Los Angeles, 4, 5, and 10.
Could save the amount of money to pay for that every year. They could have a 10 times bigger program just paid for by that savings.
We'd love to do the deployment.
Okay. All right. What's the timetable here? When can people expect this to be up and running so they can rush over there or walk over there with their laptops and get to work?
Sure. The system in Marvin Brody is already in place. We announced it 2 weeks ago.
It's in place now as we speak.
It's in place. It's working, operational. You can browse through and visit the facility and use the service.
Okay. Well, and why don't we tell people geographically where that is? It's on Van Nuys Boulevard.
It's on Van Nuys Boulevard and Irvin.
Irvin and Irwin.
Yes.
In Van Nuys.
In Van Nuys.
Okay. Any other things you want to say about the company or this project or the future of wireless?
Well, in closing, I would like to say that wireless technology, especially Wi-Fi and WiMAX, will dominate and will change the way people commute and the way people is definitely changing the society.
And the idea is, of course, that Philadelphia is doing something similar. Now, here in Van Nuys, we've got the same thing. Cerritos. Is there a kind of, or are you expecting to see a kind of a wireless gap competition in which the advantages that we've just been talking about and some we haven't even thought of, I'm sure, accrue to these areas that put in the broadband wireless connectivity and other areas in order to maintain their position or enhance their position, their competitive position, are going to want to do the same thing?
Well, it's going to be a dead heat competition, and it's good for the consumer and for end users. The wireless companies like us, like AirMesh, will definitely try very hard to grab as much land as they can and to bring the technology, and it's a big competition for telcos.
Let's talk about that a little bit then before we go, about competition between companies. Is there anything technically or administratively to prevent another company from competing with you by coming in and setting things up on themselves, or setting things up themselves, or is this generally done only under the license of a municipal jurisdiction, so there's only one wireless broadband provider in an area?
No, they could come in. Actually, if someone wants to compete with AirMesh in a certain city, they can come in, but usually it doesn't make sense for cities to sign up to wireless providers for the same service.
Okay, let's focus on, I really don't want to end here before we talk about this. There's the idea of voice over internet, VOIP, is now all the rage. The FCC just made a decision yesterday saying it wasn't going to be regulated too much. What's the picture there in terms of once this broadband cloud is set up, what that makes possible in terms of voice over internet, and what the telcos are facing with that, and whether they're going to buy out your company or what?
Well, everything is a possibility, but what I can tell you is we'll be deploying and offering voice over IP service to our customers in January, Q1 of next year.
Right.
And and it's a wonderful service.
Because essentially they'll be able to either plug a microphone or a telephone-like handset.
Or they could have a Wi-Fi phone.
Or a Wi-Fi phone.
A $100 Wi-Fi phone and give it to the kid. So the kids and the parent can talk probably in a coverage area for a few dollars additional service charge.
Say a little bit more about that. A Wi-Fi phone is essentially, instead of having the whole laptop computer and having a voice functionality in it, this is essentially a standalone voice functionality.
Correct. It's the phone that works in the Wi-Fi bandwidth.
And are there cell phone-like? Obviously, you're not going to have a big black phone with a dial on it. It's going to be a little cell phone-like device.
No, it's going to be it's very similar to your regular phone.
Regular cell phones, you mean?
Correct. And in fact, I believe there are a number of manufacturers out there that are making their the new phones dual mode. In other words, you can operate it in a Wi-Fi network and also regular.
And presumably you could either switch it back and forth yourself or the phone itself could look around and see what's cheapest.
Yes.
What about video over the same method? You could have a little. Could those phones do video?
Yes, you could also transfer video.
So essentially,
over
you'd be
the same network. Yes.
And are there manufacturers who make? Who are the manufacturers who make the phones now?
I cannot comment on that, but there's going to be a number of manufacturers. The major five manufacturers will release products.
And essentially.
Cell phones.
Yes. Now, is the bandwidth here superior? In other words, the cell phones now, which we haven't really talked about much, transmit a voice, but also picture now. People can take a picture with their cell phone camera and send it up through the cell phone back to their computer through the network. How does that compare with what's going to be possible
Unfortunately, today's cell phone technology, the speed is very slow.
Right.
And our technology, Wi-Fi, is a lot faster, and it can pretty much transfer video with much higher speed. Same thing with telephones.
So this essentially means if Canon or Sony built a camcorder with a built-in Wi-Fi capability, you'd be able to have 50,000 news stations proliferating around the valley. You just point the camera, you get the sound, you get the video, it goes through the Wi-Fi network to the network, and everyone else can access it.
You should, hypothetically, yes, you should accomplish that.
Okay.
You should be able to do that.
Let's work on that next. Thank you very much for talking to us. Hopefully, the next time we talk, it'll be over the Wi-Fi network here in the San Fernando Valley.
That'd be great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye.